SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike Sims.
We are rolling right here on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. And a lot to get into today, a lot of news surrounding some teams. We're going to get into that situation in Indianapolis. Sam Ehlinger taking snaps with Jacob Eason with the first team. Hunter Henry is going to be out for an extended period of time with that shoulder injury. George and I touched on it yesterday. We weren't sure how severe, and now the Pats are saying that Henry will miss some period of time in the offseason. But George, I want to start with the question of the day. And the question of the day basically surrounds the Jacksonville Jaguars and new head coach Urban Meyer. Will this team be a playoff contender in 2021? FanDuel has them set at a 6.5 win total at plus 100. Playoffs or bust for Urban Meyer in year one?
Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs. No, they're not going to be a little Jim Mora for you. They're not going to be a playoff contender this year. Listen, the idea, like any other team with a rookie quarterback, is to develop the system around him, right? Develop the team around him and go from there. All right, I think Lawrence is going to be the guy. That's great. I hated the pick of Travis Etienne later on in the first round, but hey, you got your two cornerstones there. Your wide receivers are decent. Got to work on that defense, other parts as well. I think they very well could be headed in the right direction, but we'll see. They're far from a finished product. To be a playoff contender? All right. I mean, just think about that division alone. I still think Tennessee by far is the best team there. Right? I have them to win that division and the over of their win total. Indianapolis, yeah, they're going to have some issues, but we're starting to hear that Wentz now probably not going to miss out all that many regular season games. He could be back by week two, week three. All right, that's good for Indy. I think Indy might be one of the best overall teams in the NFL, just as quarterback issues. All right, so, Houston's a disaster. So I think they can finish third in the division, even with the extra wild card. They're not better than Chargers, Dolphins, Ravens, Browns, Steelers. I can go on and on here. So, no, they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
But it's Urban Meyer. All he does is win, baby. That's all he does at every level now. Now we have to see if he could do it on the NFL level. Nick Saban couldn't do it with Miami Dolphins. Took him to a 10-6 overall record. Screwed up the Drew Brees situation. We could have had Drew Brees for about 10 years and God knows how many Super Bowls after that. That aside, I think when you look at Jacksonville as a whole, and we have to debate this because I like the pick of Travis Etienne. He's a home run hitter. He's the Alvin Kamara of this draft. You could talk about Najee Harris with Pittsburgh, but from getting from point A to point B in a second, that is Travis Etienne. Now, I know the fantasy world and everybody loves James Robinson, but he's just a pedestrian back. That's all he is. If you want a five-tool type of running back, you look to Travis Etienne, and on top of that, he's a national champion, and we talked about Urban Meyer building up that locker room with winners, right? Not just guys that walk through the motions. That's why he takes Trevor Lawrence. He follows that up with Travis Etienne. We have touchdown Tim Tebow in the locker room as well. That's fighting for a tight end position. I mean, when you look at this division overall, I mean, Tennessee is better on paper, but are we sold about this Tennessee defense overall? I mean, they got abused last year for the most part. Is there any indication that this defense is going to be that much more improved? And who's to say that Trevor Lawrence can't hit the ground running? I mean, when you look at the quarterbacks they had last year with Minshew, Sean Glennon, I mean, there was a reason why they lost 15 straight last year.
Yeah, they weren't a good team. It's not just the quarterback that's the problem. Right? They're not winning. They're not going to compete for a playoff game. And the reason Etienne was a bad pick has nothing to do with fantasy. This is all about the NFL. In the NFL, running backs are just not as valuable as they once were. They're not. And you had a, no matter what you think about Robinson, he was a decent NFL running back. Certainly not a superstar or even a star, but he's a decent NFL running back. And you had other holes to fill that were more important. You can get a running back in the second round, third round. That'd be, you know, you'll be fine with that. You know, when you're picking a running back in the first round, unless he's going to be a superstar, A, he has to be Kamara. Unless he's going to Barkley. Unless he's going to be that, you don't do it. You just don't do it. It was a luxury pick, and they're not a team that can afford to do a luxury pick. That's why.
Well, I'll tell you this. Their total is 6.5 on FanDuel at plus 105. I love it. I'll tell you the first four games, and you tell me if winnable. They open up on the road against Houston. Then they're at home against Denver. Then Kyler Murray at home. Okay, that's a winnable game. And then Joe Burrow on the road. They can actually potentially start 4-0. They have four winnable ball games to start.
You are really drinking the Kool-Aid here.
I'm just saying.
My God, 4-0? Jack Jackson's not starting 4-0. No way in hell. It can easily go 1-3. I'll give you the Houston game. They're a train wreck. Other than that, all those other games are easily losable as well.
Who's no better head coach? 4-0. Vic Fangio or Urban Meyer? That's the question. Vic Fangio is still trying to figure it out.
This morning.
When we come back, we'll be talking about Jake Eason and Sam Ellinger. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation about quarterback battles, we're going to look at the situation in Indianapolis. Carson Wentz, George brought up that he'll miss maybe one or two or possibly 3 weeks of the regular season. But right now, the quarterback situation falls between Jacob Eason, the second-year starter that came from Washington, and rookie quarterback Sam Ellinger from Texas, battling it out with the first team right here, right now. Eason will get the start in their first preseason game this Saturday. I'm going to come on record and say this, George. Sam Ellinger is a good quarterback, good college quarterback. He's a gutty kid. He's a blue-collar type of player. He's not an NFL type of caliber quarterback, and he is nowhere near ready to lead the Indianapolis Colts week one. Whether Frank Reich believes that or not, I'm not sure, but he's just an RPO type of quarterback like Taysom Hill. Give Eason a shot because I think he could surprise some people this year.
I would agree with you on both points there. Listen, that's opening schedule for Indianapolis is brutal. It may not matter who the quarterback was. Unless Peyton Manning's coming back and being the Peyton Manning, the Hall of Fame Peyton Manning, I don't think it matters. Wentz, Eason, it just doesn't matter. That schedule is too hard. They just want to survive it. So that's why I don't think they'll rush Wentz back either, because I think they realize that. We're going to talk to these teams, no matter who the quarterback is, we got to go for it after that. So, listen, they can't go 0-5. But they, you know, 3-2, you'd be thrilled. 2-3, you know, so you survived it. You don't want to go 1-4. You don't want to have a donut there. I would go with Easton as well. I think you drafted him last year. He's had an extra year in the system. You gotta find out what you have here. You know, can he at least be a serviceable backup in the NFL? At one time last year during the draft, he was supposed to be, you know, a possible top pick, right? Then he slid. So let's see. That's in my mind. It sort of gives you. I know this is certainly the optimistic viewpoint, the glass half full, but it gives you a chance to really judge him on what he could do in a true game situation here.
Well, I agree with you. When you look at the win total on FanDuel right now, it's set at 8.5. It dropped from 9.5. They were 9.5 to start before the Carson Wentz situation. They were actually, I think, juiced a little to the under at that point. They might have been plus 105 at the over 9.5. Tennessee at that particular time was under and over 9. Then once the injury to Nelson happened, they dropped all the way down to 8.5. And at the time, in terms of finding this team to the playoffs or not, they were really basically even money. They went from negative 150 to make the playoffs, set anywhere from 9.5 to 9, to now at 8.5, it's even money. Whether this Colt team will make the playoffs in 2021, set at minus 110, either way. The bigger question for me is this. Jacob Eason has an NFL arm. He does. If you've watched him at Georgia, he started as a freshman, went 8-5. He got his feet wet in Kirby Smart's scheme. Second year was supposed to take bigger strides. He got hurt week number one, gave way to Jake Fromm, transferred with Chris Peterson to Washington. He had a solid, solid season a couple of years ago. He was making solid throws. Now, the team around him was not elite at that point. Chris Peterson moved on. He goes to the draft. Now, the knock on Eason has been he's not a film guy. He's the first player to leave in terms of that practice. If that's the case, that's a situation from a personal aspect that Jacob Eason needs to get a handle on, because he can't be an NFL quarterback being the first player to leave and not breaking down film and not being there for his teammates. So he should take a page out of Tom Brady's book at 43 and 44 and realizing what it takes to be a winner, if that's the case. But just from a skill set, if we're breaking down Sam Ehlinger and Jacob Eason, it is not even close. Ehlinger has a good arm. He doesn't have an elite arm. He's a better game manager, but he hasn't stepped up in critical situations. He's more of an RPO guy. He'll tuck it and run. He's not going to stare down coverage, go through the passing tree the way Jacob Eason is, and he's not going to throw the football outside the hashes. So that is the biggest question. When you have wide receivers like Michael Pittman, Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, you need to be able to deliver the football. Ehlinger doesn't have that type of arm. Eason does. And you really have to go all out here. Open up the playbook and put the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I said, I agree. Listen, you'll get no argument from me. I'm with you here. I'm with you. I'm as curious as anybody else. The only reason I could truly see of not going with Eason is that, oh my God, he's not ready. You know, and if that's the case, then he's not an NFL player.
I can't believe that, though. I can't believe he's not ready. And if he's not ready here, well, then, Frank Reich, do something to get him ready. I mean, what are you talking about? We have 5 weeks before the season starts. If you're telling me that Joe Webb could start an NFL game as a backup and Ryan Finley could start as an NFL backup and Sean Glennon could start as an NFL backup and they're ready, then get Jacob Eason ready. Or develop the game plan around Jacob Eason to just fit his strong suits. I find that amazing that they come out and say this. He's not ready. Okay, you're telling me he doesn't understand the playbook? Well, then how did he get by in college? How did these other guys that can basically, they're garbage quarterbacks and they're in the league for extended periods of time, but they can play? Brandon Allen can play at Cincinnati, but Jacob Eason can't play in Indianapolis? Give me a break already. Make me understand what this is that these coaches say that these players aren't ready.
Austin, I'm with you here. Right, you preach to the choir.
I mean, Andy Dalton could be the starter in Chicago. Andy Dalton's garbage. Complete garbage.
We all know that some coaches, they want to go with the guy they trust. right? The guy that has been there.
Oh, please. That's why these coaches don't get to the playoffs. That's why these guys don't make it to the playoffs. That's why Matt Nagy has laid up like Tin Cup for 3 years, because he's afraid to take risk. If you're getting $5 or $10 million, guess what? We're paying you to take risk. It's not your job to play conservative. It's your job to get your team to the playoffs. It's not your job to just collect a paycheck and move on to the next year. And if you drafted Jacob Eason, there was something about him that you liked. And if it wasn't right, then your due diligence was wrong, and you have to blame the scouting department. That's what I don't understand about these NFL organizations. Who's taking accountability for the draft of Jacob Eason if it's not Frank Reich?
Ah, but that gets into the problem of, maybe the coach, I don't know this, it's just me guessing it. The coach didn't want him. Coach, I'm not going to play him ever. That happens all the time. But the GM wanted him, or the scouting thing, people wanted him, and they drafted him, and the coach didn't believe in him and doesn't believe in him now. I have no idea if that's what's going on in the house. I'm just throwing out stuff here that could be the reason if they don't start using. Maybe he can't grasp an NFL playbook. Maybe something's happening. Maybe the coach just hates him, whatever it might be. I think it's silly not to start Eason. I think you've been given an opportunity here, no doubt. It's looking at the glass half full. Wentz is better than Eason. Even a bad Wentz is better than Eason. But you need to find if Eason can grow. And sometimes guys don't really, they may be terrible practice players, but good game players. And that could be Eason as well, or any other NFL quarterback. I think they have to go with Eason. But as I keep saying, I'm not sure it matters. Eason, Ellinger, Wentz, that schedule is brutal. Just brutal here. I think the smart play for Indianapolis, though, assuming that Wentz is not going to be out the 12 weeks, is to just make sure when Wentz does come back, he is healthy, ready to play at some point during his first opening 5 weeks.
I think the bigger loss, too, is Quentin Nelson in terms of the guard. This offense, and granted they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, but their MO is to ground and pound with Jonathan Taylor and Hines, the backup, in terms of wear you down at the point of attack. If the running game is inconsistent early on, that's going to put this team into long third downs. And then you need a quarterback that can get you out of those type of situations because the offensive line or the running game is not consistent early on. Because that's what defenses are going to do now. Without a quarterback that's experienced entering the early part of the year, George, they're going to force Eason or Ellinger or whoever to beat them over the top.
Yes, and I would too, wouldn't you? That's how I would play it. I'm taking Taylor out. He's not going to beat me.
We'll see. Colts are -110. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other teams in the AFC, Joe Lisi and George Kirk.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting into a debate about the Indianapolis Colts. I brought up that they're -110. That's to make the playoffs. George, right here, right now, are they a playoff contender? I would still say yes because of the running game, and if you give the ball to Jacob Eason, but we'll see. If it's Carson Wentz, I would say no to the under in terms of that.
Well, you said contender. You didn't say make the playoffs. Are they a good playoff contender? So I'll vote yes, too. But you're starting behind the eight ball already. I mean, you lost your starting quarterback. You don't have a great backup. And you mentioned Nelson. Nelson's a huge loss, and I would probably agree with you also that his loss might be bigger. Might be a bigger loss than Wentz right now. So and we don't know when. And that's the thing. We don't know when they're going to return. We think it's not going to be half the season. Maybe it's September at worst. Yeah, but even that's awful here. What about when the next injuries happen? What if COVID hits here? So if you're going to ask me, are they a contender? Yes. Are they going to make the playoffs? Unfortunately, now, I think not. And I think it's a shame because I think it's a really, really good team. But I think these two injuries, unless they are back for like week two and they can survive that five-game stretch, I'm starting to worry, really worry, Joe, that their season is over in September.
Yeah, I think it was over when they traded for Carson Wentz, $41 million. That's when it was over. I hate to say that in terms of Carson Wentz, but you talk about a black cloud. He is the epitome of that in terms of his early part of his career. We'll see if it transpires with Frank Reich and the crew, see how they play this coming weekend in their first preseason game. We brought up Vic Fangio in terms of still trying to figure it out. Hey, Vic. You got to play offense in the AFC West. You know, you got to score some points. You can't win games 16-10 every single week. This isn't circa 1985 with the Chicago Bears and Otis Wilson and the crew. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, he has offensive weapons. Now the quarterback situation and the battle between Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater takes place. Aaron Rodgers is not walking through the door. I'm saying this right now. They're plus 156 on FanDuel to make the playoffs. If Teddy B is the quarterback, I'm banking on the over. I'm banking on this team to really challenge some of the better teams in the AFC. The kid's a winner. I don't look at last year with Matt Rhule and a new scheme. They had young players that were trying to fit. They were weeding them out. That wasn't a good fit for Teddy B. But with this team and playmakers like Hamler, Judy, Fant, Tim Patrick. I mean, the list goes on. Give me the Broncos, baby. If Drew Locke starts, they're a 5-12 team in 2021.
All right. They're not making the playoffs no matter who starts.
So, oh, come on.
I'll disagree there. That being said, neither quarterback's playing 17 games. And I don't care if they're healthy or if both are healthy all season. Neither one's playing 17 games. I think what Denver's going to do, and listen, first off, I would have drafted a quarterback if I was Denver. I would have taken Fields. Well, they had the 8th or 9th, I think it was the 9th pick. I would have taken Fields. No doubt
in
my mind.
They took Sertan instead.
And he's going to... But screw me, by the way. Thank you. Dallas would have liked him. But that being said, it has nothing to do with the Cowboys. Your defense is already good. You Locke, Bridgewater, at best, if everything goes well, they're average NFL quarterback. At best. At best. Fields could be a transcendent guy. You need a quarterback. You need to find out. I think Elway was gun-shy. I mean, I know he wasn't running it then, but I think they just the organization as a whole was gun shy. They've gotten so many quarterbacks wrong since Peyton. I think that's what happened there. Or maybe, and I don't know if this is you who brought this up, and if it was, by the way, it's a great point. Maybe they know they're getting Rodgers next year. And if that's it, okay, I understand that then. That's fine. But if they're not getting Rodgers next year, then I think they made a huge mistake here because Locke's been given a lot of chances. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. A couple of chances hasn't really impressed all that much. I know they've been short term here. I think they're going to start with him and give him another shot.
Why?
And then if it's not working, they go to Teddy. I think that's what they're going to do here. So I think they have to know. I don't think they know about Locke yet, so I think they want to know. And this is what I expect them to do. I'm not saying it's the right thing, Joe, but they're not going to just throw Locke away. And Teddy Bree, he's not good enough. Oh, my God, we have to go with Teddy Bree. He's not that kind of guy. Once again, he's proven over and over again of what he is. Yeah, he's a check-down guy.
Yeah, I know he's a check-down guy, they say, but the guy's a winner. And here's the thing about Teddy Bridgewater. He brought the Vikings to the playoffs. I mean, he plays well in the system. I mean, in his years with Charlie Strong in Louisville, completed 70% of his passes. He's a great manager, and on top of that, doesn't turn the football over. Now, last year he had 15 picks. But let's be honest, he still averaged 281 passing yards per game. That Carolina offense averaged well over 270 per game. They were throwing the football vertically. So to say that Teddy B couldn't put it in his receiver's hands or he's a checkdown guy, I disagree with that. I mean, if we're talking Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater, Bridgewater's my guy. I mean, he understands where to go with the football. He doesn't put his team in a position to lose games. And what more do you want when you have a top-ranked defense or a statistical defense, at least, that's in the top 15 of the league? You're going to be in positions to win ball games. So that's where I disagree in terms of everybody bashing Teddy Bridgewater. Sometimes you don't need the strongest arm. Let's be honest. I mean, Tom Brady, for the most part, last year and 2 years ago when they won against the LA Rams, he was a game manager. As long as you have a defense and you put your team in a position to win games, you can win a Super Bowl that way. So why can't they do it in Denver? Why do you need the strongest arm all the time?
Well, you need a quarterback who can score points. You just said that.
Yeah, but he scores points.
And then you see what? Teddy Brady's not a score point guy. He's not.
But,
a game
but he was 5-0. But let's be honest, he was 5-0 in New Orleans.
And so you know what his numbers were in New Orleans? His numbers were check down Charlie. He did not throw the ball into the secondary at all. And he doesn't do it. He wasn't good throwing a deep ball. Not so much the secondary. The deep ball last year, couldn't get it. He's just not that kind of quarterback. That's why they have to go with Drew Lock, or at least start with Drew Lock to find out if he can be that kind of quarterback. I'll say it again. Neither one's the answer. They should have taken Josh Fields. That's what they should have done here. He might, or he has a better chance of being the answer here. But with Lock and Bridgewater, now I will agree with you with this. The defense is really good. And Teddy B probably does give you a better chance of making the playoffs if you want to play that kind of football, 21-17 football. Hard
That's
to do that
for Fangio wants, isn't it?
Yes. He's got his own problems. All right, we can go on him next on why he's playing the wrong type of football. I don't know if that's going to work consistently in today's NFL. You know, it's hard to do it. Everything's geared to score points. You need to score points. Trying to win 21-17 week after week after week in 2021 NFL, not good. It's not going to work long term. It's not going to win you a championship. Certainly not going to do that. My bottom line is this. I don't think their next starting franchise quarterback is on the roster right now. I think they screwed up during the draft. They should have taken Fields. And I'll say it again, though. If they know that Aaron wants to play here, he's already said he's coming here next year, that's part of what was going on with Green Bay, da-da-da-da-da, then fine. You got to get through this year, right? That's fine. I think either one would be a nice backup to Aaron Rodgers. But other than that, I don't want either one of these guys starting for me. But I will agree with you that Teddy B gives you a better chance of being the safe guy because you have such a good defense, he won't turn the ball over, or probably won't turn the ball over as much as a Lock will.
Right. I see. And that's the thing about Drew Lock is that, yes, he comes with a strong arm. We understand that. But he was not a consistent passer in his days in Missouri. Just wasn't. I mean, he got up to maybe 61% his senior year when he threw 43 touchdowns. His whole career has been in the area, 56, 59. I mean, they knew that coming out of Missouri. But John Elway, you know, loved the kid because of his arm strength. And that's why he fell to the second round. But in terms of, you know, elevating his team to the next level, he didn't do that with the Missouri Tigers. He threw for 43 touchdowns against mediocre competition in the SEC. In terms of elite games, you didn't see Drew Lock take the football game over. And that's just simple watching college football every Saturday. So it didn't take elite scouting to know that about his game. I mean, anybody that watches college football on any Saturday would know that Drew Lock was a marginal quarterback. Why the Broncos fell in love with him because of his arm strength was absolutely ridiculous to me. You know, now here we are in a situation, and Vic Fangio really is dead man walking at this point, isn't he, George? I mean, let's be honest. He really needs to win right here, right now, but he still doesn't have an offensive identity. So at what point does he throw caution to the wind and say, I need to make the playoffs, otherwise my job is on the line? I mean, when you look at their win total right now, it's 7.5 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think Fangio probably should have been gone at the last season. Once again, I think that the organization is just they get tired of making mistakes.
8.5 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'll take
8.5. 9-8.
With that quarterback, I'm taking the under. I think Fangio is one of the guys who's gone after the season. That Denver will be looking for another head coach. I think he is a dinosaur in the fact that he's playing 1980s football. And the game has changed dramatically. You can't play that type of football anymore. The game is not like it was when I was growing up. It's not. And it's not going to go back to that way either.
I said it before. They have playmakers where this offense can score 30 points per game. They need to develop Jerry Jeudy. K.J. Hamler is that Tyreek Hill type of player. Noah Fant's coming into his own. He's athletic. You can get him the ball in terms of mismatch type of situations. At minus 105 at over 8.5 with Teddy B, I say they're a 9-8 football team. They're a possible 10 or 11 win team. With Drew Lock, I'm going dead under. So, I mean, that's the situation. How long do you give Lock? Would you give Lock 4 games to start the year, or you're making that assessment after the first 2?
It's probably, I'd like to give him 4, but if he's terrible after 2, then it's 2. I'll give him more than 1. That's the only thing I would really, agree to. After that, I don't want to throw a season away. It's 0-4, now we're toast. 0-2, I can come back from. 0-4, I can't.
Right, that's going to be the big thing in Denver. What is the yank on Drew Lock? Is it 2 games? Is it 4 games? Is it half a year? We'll answer that question throughout the season. When we come back, we'll be talking about the NFC. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Getting passionate with the discussion on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. Want to talk about another team. It's a low-level team in the NFC, but we have to cover these teams. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to make proper decisions in terms of the breakdown. Let's look at Dan Campbell in Detroit right now. George, under and over on FanDuel, set at 5. They're one of the worst teams in terms of the NFL this coming season. If you want to take a shot on the over, FanDuel's going to give you a plus 100 in terms of that. Under at minus 120, Jared Goff comes over. They get a couple of draft picks, Penei Sewell, to solidify that offensive line. But outside of TJ Hockenson, what does this team really have? What do they have? They have DeAndre Swift. They now have the addition of Jamal Williams, the running back that comes over from Green Bay. What's the identity of this team now that Matt Patricia is gone? Is Dan Campbell any better in terms of this team in 2021?
Well, he's a better press conference guy. He's certainly interesting. He's not boring.
No, but I tell you what, I still say this. I want to go back and debunk. Is Matt Patricia really a rocket scientist? I mean, really? I want to debate that in terms of his credentials, because I don't believe it. Some of the calls that he played in terms of his team throughout the years, the last couple of years, is very debatable. And I can't believe a person of that intelligence would make those type of decisions. So I'm going to say absolutely no to that he's a rocket scientist. That aside, you would have to think that Campbell's an upgrade, but he's still the same type of coach. Ground and pound, let's try to win games close to the vest. Let's not try to outscore anyone. I mean, he had Matt Stafford. He still couldn't have success.
Well, let's face it. Once they traded away Stafford, they were saying, no, this season's done. All right, we're a work in progress. We're rebuilding. All right, I mean, as a Campbell can have all the rah-rah stuff during the press conferences he wants. Your number one wide receiver is Tyrell Williams. That's all I need to say. I mean, Rashad Perry, these are nice guys. They're twos and threes.
Rashad Perry. I mean, he's a journeyman at this point.
Right. They have a lot of work to do. Right? You traded Galladay, or you let Galladay go, which I thought was silly, by the way. Just dumb. Even though I'm not a huge Galladay guy, you just don't let him walk. You let Stafford go, you're rebuilding. Your number one wide receiver is the tight end, Hockenson, who I think is a good player. You know, Goff, all right, maybe he develops. But Goff is a guy, Joe, that I truly believe got old quick. And I think it was because the Rams offensive line, he was taking so many hits. He was a guy who was absolutely looking at the rush before he was throwing the football. And that's, you got to get over that. You can't do that in the NFL. So I don't know if he's ever, I don't think he'll ever be that guy he was a couple of years ago, where he looked like he was going to have his coming out party. And then so all of a sudden, you know, went back in real quick. So I think they have issues all over the place here. Yeah, I don't think any of us were knocking the pick of Okuda when they took it. You know, but that hasn't worked out. He hasn't been a lockdown cornerback. But most of us love the pick, right? He was the guy that was there. You took him, lockdown cornerback, skill position play. You need that. Hasn't worked out. It's still young in his career. Maybe he figures it out. But right now, it hasn't worked. I love the pick of Sewell. Love it. You know, keep saying it over and over again. Now, Cincinnati, in my mind, should have taken him. Detroit, I think they got themselves a right now, he's a right tackle. You know, Hall of Fame right tackle forever. You know, good for them. But they have a lot of rebuilding to do here. They're last place in this division.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's a couple of things when you just look at the progression. They took Okuda a couple of years ago, right, from Ohio State. But they knew that the Giants took Eli Apple, and he didn't pan out in New York. He didn't pan out until he went to New Orleans. So you can make the argument that, okay, if it didn't pan out for Eli Apple, and you can make the argument that Apple had maybe more upside than Okuda, and I know the scouts raved about him. Maybe he'll step up this year. I know that some people, experts and analysts, believe that he's going to be a breakout star. I don't see it, but we'll see. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt entering the season. But you knew that coming in. Now, what is the identity of this team? The problem I have with Detroit is, look at last year. You draft DeAndre Swift from Georgia, and a dual-threat running back, right? He was one of the top-ranked running backs coming out of the draft. Did you really need a journeyman in Adrian Peterson there? Did you really need that? 2 years ago, you took Kerryon Johnson. You had three running backs, a crowded backfield. What was the identity of the Detroit Lions, and what are they now? I mean, that is the biggest question. I agree Penei Sewell solidifies that offensive line. You need to be able to protect Jared Goff, because I do feel that Jared Goff is a quarterback that is productive when the running game is effective. They don't run the same type of scheme that he did with Sonny Dykes in California. That's the difference. Either you're going to open it up five wide and let Jared Goff chuck it all over the yard, meaning hurry up offense, or you got to be able to run and then work off a play action. See, the problem with Jared Goff is he's really not a balanced quarterback. He's a guy that wants to get the football out in 3 seconds flat. I do feel he has a good relationship in terms of the tight ends, right? Higbee and Everett in L.A. He found them pretty often during his days there. So Hockenson could have a breakout year. But outside of that, I mean, when you let Marvin Jones, Marvin Jones was on that roster. They had Danny Amendola on that roster. What is the real identity of this team, and where is it going forward with Dan Campbell? Because to me, I think they're status quo right now. They are the same team with just different parts, different players that fit the same type of mold as what Matt Patricia had the past 3 years.
I don't think I'd argue with that. I think I think it's worse than what Patricia had. You know, obviously I'd rather have Stafford than Goff. Any receiver that Marvin Jones and Goddard, what they have now, and you had Hockenson for both. The only thing that's really improved on the offense would be Sewell, which I do think will make an immediate impact. This is another team. Like I said, this is a throwaway season. You know, and what I mean by that is they know it. They know they're not winning the season. All right, you can't fix everything in one offseason. They need another draft, probably two more drafts, two more free agency hits here before they're going to have any kind of decent squad. And I doubt Campbell will be around for that. Right. You know, we don't wait in today's NFL to see. And let's face it, there would be no Tom Landry, no Chuck Knoll, there would be no Bill Walsh in today's NFL, because we wouldn't give these guys 4, 5, 6 years to figure it out, you know, and then become that kind of coach. We're the microwave society. You get it 2 years, the third year you're done. You're done if you're going 4-13, you know, 5-12, 6-11, whatever it might be. And I don't think Campbell will be around no matter what. I also don't think he's the kind of coach you need. I think he's another guy who's going to play old school football and want to win games 21-17. It doesn't work in today's NFL.
Right. No, I agree with you. That's the biggest thing, is that the mentality, right? That ground and pound only works for certain teams. I think there's only a few teams in the NFL that could get away with that. Right? Cleveland is more of a ground and pound type of team, but they have a quarterback that's competent. And Baker Mayfield has taken the next step in his progression. When he had to win that game on the road against Ryan Tannehill, he chucked 5 touchdowns. That's the difference. You can ground and pound, but you still need a quarterback to stretch defenses vertically if you have to turn it on. And that's what they don't have right now, at least in terms of Jared Goff's career. We need to see a little bit more. I will say this, in terms of the schedule, George, when we talk about this win total of 5, this is going to be, this is a dead under for me. Look at who they open with. They open with the 49ers. Then they get Aaron Rodgers on the road in Green Bay. Lamar Jackson at home in week number 3. Now, we don't know who's going to start in Chicago by week 4. Is it Justin Fields? But they get the Bears, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, and then Joe Burrow and the Bengals in week number 6 and 7. I mean, they could be 0-7 basically heading into the middle part of the season after the Bengals, the Rams, and the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. I mean, that is not easy in terms of the first 9 games of their upcoming schedule.
No, they're an under. I already have money on the under. I think this is I think they're the number one pick next year. All right, this is a 2-15 team, 3-14, whatever you want to put. I think they're going to be a terrible team. What team would you look at? Even though, even Chicago. I still think Chicago's a better team. I don't care who the quarterback is. It should be Fields, but you know they're a better team. So give me the under here, big time. I think if they're not the worst team in football, they're certainly one of them.
Yeah, I thought it was Houston after we went through the roster, but when I look at the schedule, Lions, Steelers, Browns, Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Cards, Falcons, Seahawks, and Packers again to round out the bottom nine or eight games in terms of 2021. George and I are both on the under for the Detroit Lions in 2021. Let's talk about Kansas City now. Are we on their win total for 2021 on the over? I don't see it. At 12.5 plus 125, do we think that this is a better roster than Tampa Bay? When we talked about Tampa Bay, we said they are clearly the best team in the NFL because of the people and players they have, 31 players coming back. I'm confident to take the under on Kansas City. Now, FanDuel sort of agrees. They're juiced to the under heavily at minus 150 right now. That's a huge number when you just think about it, because you think Patrick Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You think about Kelce. You think about Tyreek Hill. But they are still huge question marks on the defensive side of the ball, and their schedule is not easy, George. I feel pretty confident that this team is right in the area of 12 wins. I would even go out on a limb and say they could possibly be 11-6 this season.
I don't know if that's a big limb you're going on there, because I kind of agree. I think they'll go over.
In the sense of games, it's 1.5 games cushion if you're taking the under. If you think about it, 11-6.
Yeah, I said I do think they'll go under, but I'm not betting it either way. I think to get the under, you might need an injury here, an injury there. I think they are the best team in the NFC. We think Tampa's the best team in the NFC. I certainly do, and I think Kansas City's the best team in the AFC. When you play in this game, Where are their losses coming from, right? I mean, you start off with Cleveland and Baltimore. That's tough. I know they've pretty much owned Baltimore since Baltimore beat them that one time. But you could lose a game there. I could see that. You do play Buffalo in week 6, but it's in Kansas City. Washington, Tennessee. You play Buffalo, Washington, Tennessee, a 3-game stretch. I could see you losing one of those. So I got 2 losses so far. Green Bay, okay, but it's at home. All their tough games, other than divisional games, seem to be at home.
Right.
You know, Dallas at home. Not that Dallas is a tough game, but Dallas can score points with them. I don't think Pittsburgh's a tough game anymore.
No, I think they Pittsburgh probably go, when you look done.
When you look at the schedule, I think they probably do go over, but I think if it's always by a half, it's at 13. They're not gonna go 15-2, something like that. So I'm not touching it. I think the number is right. That's what my bottom line is. I think they got it right when I don't feel comfortable. Unless I get that game and a half where I think it's okay, I think it's an easy over, an easy under. I don't touch this. And I think to get the under, you might need an injury here. You know, where
well, that's the
Hill,
thing,
Kelce,
too.
Mahomes, and I'm not banking on right. that, or COVID to hit.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, Kelce, obviously, he hurt his hamstring in the preseason. Will that affect him or nag him? The problem that I have with Kansas City is the fact that they walked through the motions last year. I mean, they clearly played down to the level of competition, right? Every game was basically a one-score game. Even that game in Miami, they jump out to a big lead, hang on for a 6-point win. So that was the mindset there. Now they solidify the offensive line, but I need to see more from this rushing attack. I really do. They could not run the football in the playoffs, and that was the main reason why teams were dialed in on the passing game. They blitzed off the edge. They got pressure to Patrick Mahomes. Yes, he was hurt. He was limited in terms of his mobility, but without the running game consistent in 2021, I don't know if the Kansas City Chiefs are as lethal as they were a couple of years ago. This team might slowly, and I have to use my words very carefully, slowly be on the decline. I'm not saying that they go from 12-4 or 12-5 down to 10 wins, but we'll see. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk about the Chiefs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we talked about a number of teams. We left off with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just said that I don't know if this team is as elite as it was a couple of years ago. We might start to see a slow decline in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they have one of the most explosive quarterbacks in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes. Let's look at their week one line against Cleveland right now. George, sitting flat at minus six right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tough battle. It's a rematch of the divisional playoff game. Chad Henne got that victory. You would have to think that Cleveland comes amped up in this matchup. It's under seven. I would lean to the Browns right here on FanDuel. I'm a buyer as the underdog comes to town in Kansas City.
I think this might be my favorite game one. Yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland wants to make a statement here. It's in Kansas City, one of the best home crowds in the NFL. It's gonna be a full crowd. First time we've seen that really in a couple of years here. I think it's gonna be wild, a wild game here. And Cleveland probably should have won that game. And Chatty Henne should not have beaten you. T. Higgins fumbled that ball when into the end zone. That cost him maybe a chance to win the game as well here. I agree with you. I think Cleveland's going to lose, but I think they are able to keep it close enough. But I think it's gonna be a great game.
Yeah, we'll see what transpires. That is a 4:26 start. A lot of line movement in some of the other Week 1 games. I want to bring those up. Giants opened up as a one-point dog. They then went to a one-point favorite. Now, money coming in on Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos and Teddy B on FanDuel. They're -1.5 in the Meadowlands at -104. This is one of my better bets. I love the Broncos Week 1 over the New York Giants. Under and over set of 42.5 at -110 either way. Other movement right now, George, in terms of Week 1 action. We talked about these Week 1 games. The other line movement favors your Dallas Cowboys getting now an extra half against Tom Brady and the crew, catching 7 at -110 on FanDuel. That is the night game on Thursday night, September 9th. You like the boys, yes or no?
No, but I like the over.
We'll see what happens. I love the Cowboys Week 1. When we come back next week, we'll talk all NFL. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great show.